Somebody says you talk shop right during church service. Yeah, we do a lot of strange things. Sometimes there's no time otherwise. All right. Good to see everyone. We do know we have some of you visiting. I met these folks right here on the front. I'm going to let them tell you their name, their first-time visitors, a preacher friend, and told them they ought to come by. So y'all tell us your name.
I'm Harry Clulo. This is my wife, Darlene.
All right. I'm Darlene.
Good to have you folks tonight. Appreciate you coming. Amen. All right, I want you to open your Bible. We're going to just do a little bit of Bible study here. I want you to open your Bible to the 40th chapter of the book of Genesis, a very familiar story. I'm going to mostly remind you of the story rather than try to read it because of time's sake. We're just going to deal a little bit with the thought tonight. It's the story of Joseph, and I want to use some other Bible characters to illustrate or to kind of remind us of a point I want to deal with tonight. Sometimes it seems like in the Christian life, in the struggle of life, sometimes it seems like I've heard it said that the heavens are brass, that I can't get through to God, or that God is silent. History tells us that God didn't raise up a prophet for 400 years between the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, and the first book, Matthew. Malachi closes out with God's great rebuke over his chosen people, Israel. He even accuses them of stealing, robbing from him. He accuses them of not even being willing to shut or open the door in the house of God unless they get paid for it. It was a rotten time in Israel. And so in college, we would teach that the 400 silent years between Malachi and Matthew. We all understand sometimes we can be alone, even in a crowd, and even in the midst of a lot of noise. But sometimes we've all probably at one time or another gotten in a valley where we just say, Lord, did you forget about me? Have you forgot me? I pray and yet don't seem to get any satisfaction of being heard. That's not a strange phenomena. It has been true with a number of Bible characters. Times when you saw them tested. I'm going to refer maybe to one or two or three of them tonight that way a little bit. I was watching a documentary one time. I'm sorry for this throat. I took an allergy pill before I left the office. It didn't do any good. Anyway, maybe it'll clear, maybe it won't. Just try not to think about it and try to hopefully think on what I'm saying instead of what I'm coughing, all right? But I saw a documentary on TV some years ago, and you have to take that with a grain of salt sometimes. Things are camera fixed, but there's some mysteries on planet Earth. They were showing a few mysteries. One of them was that there are what they call silent spots on the earth. The amazing thing, out in some of the big deserts or in the middle of the ocean. Sometimes they say it's a place where sound just doesn't seem to work like it does in other places. They showed some places where gravity does not have the same pull that it does on the average across the earth. Mystery things. I don't know. But when we look to the heavens and they seem to be silence, and we silent in the sense that we don't get the satisfaction that God is paying us any attention, that is a sad thing. It's not a good thing. In Genesis, we study or we read about Joseph. Joseph got mistreated. Mistreated by his brethren. He's a great type of Christ. Came into his own received him not. Speaking of Jesus in John 1. He came to his brethren. Remember, they were jealous of him, envious of him, sold him into slavery. He went down into Egypt and did good in a rich man's house and had control over all of it. But then Potiphar's wife accused him. and caused him to go to prison. In prison, he did so good that the jailer made him somewhat over the inmates. And you know the story how two of the king's servants, the butler and the baker, was also thrown in there. They had offended the king. And while they were in there, Joseph was looking after him. He was what we'd call a trustee or something today. And he heard them talking about their dreams. And the butler told Joseph about his dream, and he said, I have no way of interpreting it. Well, Joseph told him God could interpret dreams, so Joseph interpreted his dream for him and told him that the dream meant that within 3 days, the king would raise him back up, and he'd be the position he had before with the king. Well, the baker got also enthused about that, and so he told him his dream. But Joseph had bad news for him. He told him, 3 days and your head's going to be lifted off of you. Well, the dreams was fulfilled, and the king did that exactly. But if you remember, the butler and the baker talking to Joseph, and the butler, after he was elevated, Joseph had told him, and I'm reading the very last verse now of chapter 40 of Genesis. Joseph had asked him to help him, to put in a good word to him for the king. But now look what the verse says, verse 23 of chapter 40. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now you say, well, what does that mean? Well, for 2 years. Read it close later, you'll find out for 2 years, Joseph heard nothing. The butler didn't speak to the king after he was elevated back up. 2 years, Joseph didn't get a message from God. We might call it 2 solid years from God. Not getting his prayers answered. Now there's others in the Bible that found times they couldn't get in touch with God. Sometime it was obvious. With King Saul, it was his sin. And he couldn't get in touch with God. And he went to the witch to call Samuel back up, remember? There was another good man of God, a powerful man of God by the name of Elijah, remember? He went out and killed all the prophets of Baal and had a great victory and brought the rain back. And then he got a bad telegram from Jezebel. Remember the story? She texted him that she was going to have him killed, right? Well, it traveled just about that fast. And Elijah ran, didn't he? He ran and he found him. After he ran a long way, he hid under a juniper tree, began to cry and weep before God, saying, I wish I was dead. You ever been under the juniper tree? There was a silent spot on that tree where God was not communicating with Elijah. And finally, an angel woke him up and fed him and let him go another 40 days till he got to the right place. And Elijah still listening for God, and he can't hear him. And all of a sudden, there's an earthquake, but God's not in it. And there's a fire, and God's not in it, remember? But then God spoke to him in a still, small voice and told him what to do. But I'm saying to you that all of us are kind of kin with these Bible characters. There's times you're going to be in the valley. There's times you're going to sit side of a sick bed. There's times you're going to wonder what the doctor is going to say when he comes out after he's done work on a loved one. There's going to be times financially or times in so many ways that you're going to say, where is God? Lord, remember me. I'm still here. The psalmist found those days in different places in the Bible. You can find them. There's times like Samson got up and shook himself and wished that God had not departed. And there's going to be those times when it seems that you're in a quiet zone, that God has not answered. Probably Job is the best character in the Bible to illustrate. And we're going to read some of his words. They're very powerful to us today. I want you to go to Job chapter 23. We'll look at a few verses there. You remember about Job. Job was being tested. Now, see, you and I take Job pretty lightly because we know the end of it. But Job didn't know the end of it. Job was in the midst of a quiet time with God and wondering why he couldn't get a hold of God and why God had forsaken him. And if you haven't been there in your Christian life, there'll be periods you'll go through that. And we'll find the answer if we act like Job did and trust God anyhow. Look at it here in chapter 23 of Job. Did you find it?
Yes,
go ahead to Job. If you get to Psalms, go back to your left. Job chapter 23. Pick it up with me here in about, let me jump down. Let's go down to verse 8 of chapter 23. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Wow, what's he saying? He's saying, I can't find God. God's forsaken me. He's quiet. He's not talking to me. He can not see me anymore. And he's just in a pickle. Now, if you've been saved very long and you've had some burdens and you've had some struggles and you've had illness or you've had problems, there's times you're going to pray and wonder, did it get any higher than the ceiling? And then you're going to do, and rightfully so, you're going to do self-inspection. You're going to say, what did I do? That's what Job was doing. What did I do? What have I done? I was doing the same thing I was always doing. I was thinking the same way, working the same way, treating folks the same way. What happened? And you know, Job, actually, if you read Job close, he begins to think God's his enemy. And most of us wouldn't admit that sometime, but sometime we say, Lord, you're mistreating me. What did I do? That's really what Job was feeling. But if you read on a little bit further and notice here in verse 10, he's remembering in verse 10, but he's also waiting in verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. Where he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What is he saying? He's saying, I can still trust God when I don't understand. Now, Joseph was in that pickle. Joseph had tried. If you want to go over to Psalms, right over to your right, go over to the 105th Psalm. 105th Psalm, pick it up in about verse 19. And we're going to go back to what Joseph felt for just a little bit. We'll talk about he and Job both here just a little. Psalms 105, verse 18, 19. Well, let's go to 17. He sent a man before them, telling the story now, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. But you know what? It was 2 years. It was 2 years that he was without a word from the Lord. 2 years after the butler had got out and forgot him and didn't say anything to the king. 2 full years. Now, God has a timetable and it's not ours. And that's where we get in trouble, thinking he ought to be on our clock. He ought to be on our time. And don't he know my need? And where's he at? And folks, there's not anybody in the room, including myself, that can't slip into this kind of depression and just wonder what in the world's going on. It happened to Joseph. It happened to Job. It happened to others, Elijah, and it can happen to you and I. But going on down with me a little bit, God is working when we don't know he's working, and extensively working sometime when we don't know he is. Job done some wonderful response here in spite of the fact he didn't know Satan was playing with God and challenged God, and he didn't know that God had given the devil permission to mistreat him like he was, and he just couldn't figure it out. Not only that, he had his so-called friends come to torment him too. Boy, with the friends like that, you don't need any enemies. Aren't we? We find it easier to play the part of Job's friend sometime than we do Job. What did you do wrong to get this? What have you been doing nobody knows about? God's caught you in it. That's what his friends were saying. And I mean, they were, no pun intended, they were raking him over the coals. He was in the ash heap. He was sitting there already in that condition, and they came and just piled on. And you hadn't lived long if you haven't sometimes seen similar type situation. And we ought to be very careful. Even when we see something wrong, we may not know the whole story behind it. Amen. We may repeat something that somebody else has repeated, and we're hurting with it and doing damage with it, and we don't know the whole truth. And I tell you what, judgment seat of Jesus Christ is going to be a balancing place. It's going to be a place of tears. It's going to be a place of regrets. It's going to be a place when we wonder, why? It's a strange thing. I think it's a satanic thing. I think it's certainly a depraved flesh thing that people rather repeat things on a small basis. When your world is wrapped around what somebody else done, you're in a small world. You need to see a bigger world. You need to see a bigger picture. I told somebody not long ago, and they were saying a few bitter things, criticizing God's people. And I said, look, God still loves them. And they're his best people on earth. And they all got our fault. We all got our faults. And the more people you put together, the bigger percentage of folks you're going to find with outstanding faults. But still, my attitude is to try to look at them like God does. And he loved every one of them, died for every one of them, paid the price for every sin. And no, he's not pleased, especially when brethren cut down on brethren or gossip takes first place in somebody's life. Folks, we have to guard against it. It's a dangerous thing. It's a satanic thing. I told you not long ago, James said the tongue set on fire of hell. It's right out of the pit, and we got to watch out for it. Now, looking at Job just a little bit more, just turn back to Job with me. God was working. Job didn't know it. Job's response, though, was good. Look at it in verse 11 of the 23rd chapter of Job. My foot have held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. He said, even though I don't understand it, I'm still walking the right path. I'm walking straight. So what do I do when I hit a spot in the ocean where the wind don't blow? When I pray and the heavens are brass, what do I do? You keep on doing right. You keep on following the right path. You keep on stepping in God's way and God's will according to his word. And this is the thing, and you've heard me preach on it a number of times. It don't pay to serve God. That's what they said in Malachi's day. And the Lord rebuked them for it. God does let us be tested some. Job was certainly being tested. And he came through with flying colors. His friends forsook him. His wife even turned her back on him. It was a rough time for Job, but he kept walking in God's steps. So that's what he's saying here in his 23rd chapter. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Verse 10, my foot have held the steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Wow. Job, isn't God mistreating you? Job thought he was. Aren't you hurting? Yes. Did you lose your family? Yes. Did your friends deny you? Yes. But I still trust him, though he slay me. Boy, oh boy, God let us have the book of Job because we need it. Need it really bad. And as we study it, God's word still worth following, even when we don't understand it. It's still the right way. You know, it's one thing to get depressed. Remember after the resurrection? Remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? Boy, the bottom had fallen out. Peter denied the Lord. I preached on that the other night because he didn't understand. These two disciples, they're walking and they're depressed. And a man joins them on the road, and what are they talking about? They're talking about not a victory, but a defeat, that Jesus has been crucified. And yet, they'd heard the rumor that he was still alive, and they were depressed. And all of a sudden, a third man joins them, and it's Jesus himself. Well, wouldn't you have loved to have been in that crowd when they recognized him? You know what, folks? Sometimes Jesus may be walking with us, and we don't know it. We don't recognize him. And he may be letting us suffer some things here that's going to pay off for us in the long run on the other side. David went through the same thing. I told you I'd use some Bible names tonight. Just to let you know we're not alone. If you're denied, if you're in a dead spot, if you're in a place where you don't think you're getting your prayers answered, if the bottom's falling out and you can't seem to get in touch with God, just remember you're not the only one that ever felt that way. Right. David sure felt that way some, didn't he? Oh, look at it. We're close to Psalms. Look at some of the stuff David said. Go over to Psalms 28 and verse 1. Psalms 28, 1. And I don't have mine marked. You'll find it. Go ahead and make an effort. It's Wednesday night. Do a little Bible study. Psalms 28, 1. David. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. What's the next words? Be not silent to me. Silent to me. Lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. David is praying, God, don't be silent to me. Just don't ignore me, is what he's really saying. Yet he fell that way. Going over to Psalms 83 while we're in the Psalms. Going over to Psalms 83, and we pick up on that thought again just a little bit. Let's see if I can find it. 83 verse 1. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, mine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. Think about it a minute. You know, America could feel that way sometime, couldn't we? What a mess our country's in as it's turned its back on God. God would have every right in the world to not answer a prayer on our behalf as a nation. But I don't believe he's doing that. I believe he's still giving our country a choice. I think he gives us a choice. We either walk the path, go by his word, or we let the devil con us into thinking God don't see us, don't hear us, and don't respond to us. And that's wrong. The devil would like for us to think that. But David had been in that quiet zone. Job had been in it. Joseph had been in it. Now, if God's giants, and they were giants compared to us, if they've had that experience, don't think you should be a stranger to it once in a while also. Just do this. The psalmist said, be still and know that I'm God. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You got all that encouragement. To be quiet, to be still. We forget sometimes, folks, that the devil is a defeated enemy. He can scare us into doing wrong things, but he don't have as much power over us as we sometimes think. We give him that power. We let him flusterate us when we don't have to. you fellas, I'm going to use a homeless thought I had here. How many of you fellas ever, all right, I'm going to find word it this way. How many of you know what bird hunting is in the South? Several hens. How many of you know you have such a thing as a bird dog? That's not a dog that flies. That's a dog that's got a good nose. And he is by instinct, if he goes out in the bushes, he is looking for a certain kind of bird. Down south, we call it a quail. Now, up north, you might have the bigger ones, the pheasants and stuff. But down south, quail hunting in the old days was a big thing. It still goes on. And for enough money, you can go to some private land and I guess still do it. Now, it's hard to do anything much anymore without paying a big price, but used to be. I could come home from work, 5:30, 6, still have a couple hours of daylight maybe, run out and get my old bird dog out of the pen, get my gun, my shotgun, walk out in the woods in front of the house, and go quail hunting. I killed a lot of quail that way. You say, what do you do with them? You eat them, and they're good. Real good. But anyway, to watch a bird dog hunt a covey of quail is a real thrill. I don't know how I got off of it, but I'm going to go ahead and finish it. When he starts to point, he'll come up with his right front leg like this. I'm talking about a pointer bird dog. You can get a setter with long hair, but long hair in Florida didn't go near as good, too hot. But a pointer was a short-haired dog. He'd raise up that, his nose would go out like an arrow, and his tail would stick straight out, and he would freeze like a statue. And the way he is looking, where his nose is at, is telling you, and what will the birds do? They will all rush together. They may have been scattered out, but when they realize they're in danger, they'll rush together into a little wad. It may be the size of a small pillar, but they may be 15 in that wad. And when they go all at one time. And if you ain't careful, your heart will jump and you'll shoot your gun somewhere else instead of at them. That's true. I've seen a many guy for his first time just really just disorient him. But here's the point. Those birds will flock together. And that dog smells them. He knows they're close. And quite often, if they don't get up on their own while I'm ready to shoot, I'll cluck to him or I'll call his name and he'll run in, but he don't know exactly where they're at. But he rushes in to scatter them so I can shoot them. And that's the way it works. On some occasions, especially where you only got one or two birds, they're smart enough, they don't never move. They just stay put. And that's the hardest ones to find. You can almost step on them in the grass and they won't get up. You know what we are like when the devil points at us? He bluffs us into scattering when we're supposed to be still and wait on the Lord and trust him. Now, that's a crude illustration, but that's exactly what happens. He's a roaring lion going about, seeming who he can devour and who he can scatter and make them do the wrong thing. And that works too much of the time. When God says, wait, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There is some power in waiting, even if you don't think your prayers are being heard. Don't run out and say, I'm going back to the old life. I won't do this, that, or the other. The devil just flushed you out and scattered you and messed you up, got you killed, maybe in a sense. The truth is, when sometimes you say the heavens are brass, that's the time you need to get still before God, do what you know is right, and keep on praying, and above everything else, keep on trusting God. Amen. He's not against you. Amen. He's for you. And there's so much of the word. Joseph had two silent years. Malachi there, we believe the Jewish nation went through 400 and still going, in a sense, through silent years. Job had his time. He just didn't understand. Everything piled on him, but he said, I'm going to keep on keeping his word, doing his word. David said, Lord, don't be silent to me. Don't forget me. Keep on remembering me. Now, he had that problem. And sometimes, like Saul, and in some cases David, it was sin in their life. And it's all right, good, always good to check that up. But when you've confessed and got right and as clean as you can be before God and you still don't seem to hear from him, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on following his word and doing what's right. Amen? All right, let's stand. Brother Hector, you want choir practice? He said, now that's kind of pessimistic. He said they're going to meet up there. He's wondering if he's got anybody. I know what he's wondering. But choir, come on up. Sunday's coming. We need to be ready. And so as soon as I dismiss in prayer, go on up and join Hector. He won't keep you long tonight. We need to be ready for Sunday, okay? Father, thank you for the word. Lord, there might be somebody here tonight in the quiet area. Lord, they're wondering what's going on. I pray they'd not flush out and let the devil trick them. I pray they'd stick close to you, keep going the right way, believe in your word, following your word, and trusting you all the way. Bless us, Father, to be faithful in a time when the devil is running about as a roaring lion, maybe as never before. Help us, Father, to realize that you're not against us and you've got a plan for us. I pray you'd bless now as the choir gets ready for Sunday. Give us a good Sunday, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, God bless you. Let's be dismissed.